What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, the 2016 and 2017 recipients of the Exotic Dancer Publications DJ of the Year Award, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Hey, welcome to the Rockin' Pod Recap. This is the What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on Pantheon Podcast Network. We are the number one strip club music podcast in the world. That's Alon Fong. I'm Danny Myers. What is Rockin' Pod Recap? We are recapping Rockin' Pod. Well, Rockin' Pod, this was such a fun expo that Alon and I got invited to. It's very simple. It's rock stars and podcasters. And we got invited to bring our equipment, and they set us up with a whole bunch of amazing interviews. We had 9 altogether interviews that we did with different people, and you know, one of them, it wasn't all musicians because we had Craig Gass, who is a comedian, and he was funny as hell.
Yeah, man, dude, what a blast. So he's on the Howard Stern Show. So most people know him from the Howard Stern Show as well as the stand-up career. And an amazing amount of celebrities dropped by the show during the interview. I mean, we had Sean Connery, Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Sam Kinison, Tracy Morgan, just to name a few of the stars who stopped by. It was amazing how many people he knows.
Yeah, I didn't see their faces, but I heard their voices.
Yeah, yeah, and you get to find out how Craig Gass inspired In Love with a Stripper.
Yeah?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that story was the inspiration for the T-Pain classic, In Love with a Stripper.
Yeah, so let's not talk about it. Let's let Craig do it, because this is a copy. It's about 14, 15 minutes. That's what we had with him, and I want you to listen to this and get to know this guy, because he is funny AF. We are recording right here at Rockin' Pod 2023 in Nashville. Nah, we don't go live. We're not talented enough. But What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast right here, part of Pantheon Podcast Network. We got a hell of a comedian right now. Craig Gass is with us. He's an American actor, comedian. He's an impressionist, and I know we're going to get you doing some impressions while you're in here. Mm-hmm. Best known for his roles in Kings and Queens, Family Guy, American Dad, Sex in the City. And, you're also a Seahawks super fan. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well.
Am.
But first of all, welcome to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs.
I am. As soon as I saw the name of the podcast, I thought, wow, well, is this going to be about my childhood? Because that's how I spent all my teenage years, was in strip clubs.
18 and up. Most clubs are 18 and up. He was 18 and up, ladies and gentlemen.
He was born
for legal purposes.
I think I was 16 or 17, and the clubs were 21 and over. And I started dating strippers when I was like 17, and it was just like, wow. I mean, girls that were really nice and had money and cool outfits and
outstanding features.
Yes. Yeah, they were just
beautiful eyes.
They were wonderful. Yeah, it's weird, man. My memory is like so vague.
But it's all coming back to him now.
Yes.
Yeah, there was 2 weeks in a row recently where somebody said to me, one was in Providence, one was in St. Louis. I don't know why I'm sharing this story.
Go ahead.
A girl walks up to me in Providence and says, I don't know if you remember me. I used to work here at the club about 20 years ago. And I go, oh, okay. And I go, I don't know if I remember you. And we're talking about that time that she was there. And I said, so did a lot of comedians hit on you? And she goes, oh, yeah. She's like, but I only had sex with one. And I was like, oh, yeah? And I was like, who was it? And then she paused and she was like, it was you. And I went, oh, my God, high five. And I high-fived her. I high-fived her like, smooth. How cool is that? We had sex. How cool is that?
You sing that Akon song. I just said sex.
Yeah. I was so proud of myself. I was like, wow, look at that, man.
She didn't ask for a DNA sample, did she?
No. Oh, same thing happened like a week or two later in St. Louis. And but yeah, fun times growing up. So
you're going to start your own state. You're going to collect all your kids from all the strip clubs around the country and buy some land. It'll be called Gasylvania.
Gassytown. All right, Gasylvania. Right? I love it.
Bam,
I love
and then, you know, everyone, so when you go to a strip club, all the strippers out there, all my fellow dancers, make sure you bring a little, you know, Q-tip to get a DNA sample, swab his mouth. We'll get it taken care of.
God,
get
you
a
bring
lot
up
of tax breaks for you right there.
Anyone who grew up in that time frame cringes when you hear the word Q-tip. But anyways, there was an old school way of finding out if something was wrong, and it was not good. Anyway, so
hello.
But I'm interrupting everything. I'm just taking over. So
this is what we actually like doing. Just going off script. We have no script. We just, you know. But I did hear, you know, tell me about how you learned to speak because your parents are deaf.
Yes. Well, I'm a comedian who's known for doing impressions. Mm-hmm. And the way I became a guy who could do that was based on circumstance. I grew up in a family, and this is going to sound like a joke, but it's not. Everyone in my family is deaf. Okay. Mm-hmm. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all completely deaf. So growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk for my family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV. Sure. And never got an accent from the Bronx, which is where I'm from.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I always say that everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white.
Yeah.
Male or female. That's crazy.
So, yeah. So that's always been a thing that I could do. Like, the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. So, from Christopher Walken.
Who's got a real stop and go kind of voice where he'll talk every once in a while. He'll stop.
It's like Shatner.
And then he'll keep going.
Yeah. And or Al Pacino.
Whose voice is a voice that women love to hear, even though he loves to reason.
Yeah. So yeah, I did a voicemail of Al Pacino for Paul Stanley. Asked me to do his voicemail, and he sent me a text like, I just want you to do like kind of scent of a woman. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And so I recorded a thing where I, as Al Pacino, I said,
hi, this is Al Pacino. You've reached the star child. Leave a message and get to the point. Oh. Nobody wants to hear you ramble on and on. If you ramble too much, I know where you live. I'm coming to your house, and I'm taking a flamethrower to that motherfucker.
And I sent it to him, and I said, let me know if you have any notes. And he texted me right back and said, yeah, I have some notes. And I was like, oh, what? I said, you don't have to curse. Just say, hey, it's Al Pacino. And I was like, all right. So then I did a clean version for him, and he was like, hey, that was great. And I was like, all right, thank you. And then, so it's weird. People you do impressions of, it's always a weird feeling to them. And I can understand it because the first time you hear your voice on a recording,
right,
it's very upsetting. It's like, oh, my God, is that what I – that doesn't sound like what I think I sound like. So I understand it. So when you do an impression of somebody and everybody starts laughing, usually the person you're doing the impression of doesn't get it at all. It's like,
right.
Why is that funny? I remember working on a TV show with Alec Baldwin who said to me, you know why? It's because you take a part of their soul. And I was like, Jesus, what the hell are you talking about?
Mazel.
Yeah, I have to sneeze. Hold on. I can feel it coming.
That was a cough sneeze. It was cute.
It was. Thank you.
So let me ask
all
you,
my sneezes are
I
cute.
Do... I'm not a professional. I do impressions though, just for the fun.
Oh,
of it,
no whatever. Shit. Right
on. I've always said when I talk to people, even when I strip club DJ, I would do impressions on the mic. Like, I would do
no
the Australian
shit.
Guy. I'm like, the male's a species, approaches the dancer with a dollar bill when they're not dipping. Is he going to approach her? I don't know. He's sick for his scent. And I would do this whole monologue over.
I just came here
dancing.
From Australia. I was in Australia for the last 2 weeks. Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome. So, but I got to ask you, like, I know when some of the voices I do to get the sound, you can contort your face, right? Like, mm-hmm. The mouth does crazy things. Right? So, like, how do you do... My question for you. How do you finalize the sound or get it dialed in? Is there, like, you know what I mean? Like, for you professionally or, like, when you're practicing, is it the catchphrase that helps get you there or, like, little phrases?
I hit one note. I just hit one. If I can find one note, mm-hmm. I'll hit that note. And it's the only note I can do. And I'll just do that note over and over again until I can add more notes to it.
And so, like, then, more like, phrases and, like...
Yeah, I remember with Christopher Walken, for some reason, all I had with Christopher Walken was...
Little man.
And I couldn't do anything else. Right. But I could go,
little man. Little man. Little man. And then eventually you start adding other notes and scales. And you can paint a full picture.
You know?
That's great.
Same thing with Kinnison. I remember it was like, I think it was like, you bastard. That's it. That's all I had.
Okay.
Ah, you bastard. You know.
Yeah.
And that's all I could do. And then eventually, if you do more cocaine and you develop a pretty bad drug problem, you can do it all. Oh! And you start building and filling out an entire canvas. So that's how I would usually do it. And And then there's moments, and I don't know if you're like this, I'll go to a movie, and I'll walk out of the movie with someone's voice stuck in my head from that movie, and I'll just be talking like that person for the rest of the day.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, there's something about not thinking about it at all that you can just do it like that.
Yeah.
And then if you start to think about it, then it kind of falls apart. Yeah.
Like, I'll do a reggae accent, but then it slips into an Irish brogue somehow because I lose it, right? I lose it. They're close.
Right.
I've done it on the show. You're like, Elon, you went
what the
from
fuck
reggae
are you
to
doing?
Irish. What happened?
Yep.
Does that... I also like doing the dichotomy of having like a sweet, innocent, like, you know, Yogi Bear, hey, boo boo, right? And then going into the cussing or the blue stuff where he's
of course.
Oh, fuck the Ranger, boo boo. You know, it's.
Yeah, my whole show in Australia, New Zealand, I was opening for this guy, Russell Peters. It was my first arena tour. I'd never done an arena tour. We did all arenas across Australia, New Zealand. And he's been trying to get me to do shows because he said, dude, your impressions will, like, you need to go and travel internationally. Your impressions would do well anywhere in the world. So he was right. Like, every night I'm doing these shows, and every time I hit a voice, people go, whoa. And it's almost like they had never heard impressions before.
Right.
So he was like, you got to squeeze some more in there. And then I started doing this awful thing, to your point, where it's funny to take a voice and do something terrible with it.
Yeah.
I started doing this thing where somebody recommended me years ago when I first started doing stand-up. They're like, hey, you should do Casey Kasem doing Elvis, which didn't make any sense to me. And I was like, Casey Kasem doing Elvis. So I pulled the stool up, and I said, all right, here you go. Hi, I'm Casey Kasem, and I'm doing Elvis. Down one notch, and in at number two, I'm doing Elvis. And then it becomes... All right, Sean Connery doing Elvis.
Show Elvis. You like it sloppy, don't you? How'd you like the Goldfinger?
And then it becomes all these celebrities quick,
bang,
like
bang, bang,
10
bang.
Seconds of everybody fucking Elvis.
What
and it's, and it's yeah. And that's the most fun thing to do is to have, you learn an impression and then just bastardize it. You know, like for the Howard Stern show, I'm learning this. Somebody sent me a note and said, can you do... Mike Lindell, and I was like, the MyPillow guy? And I was like, I mean, I used to do a lot of coke, so how hard can that be?
Yeah.
And then you start doing the voice. I would, like, watch his story that he's a recovering crackhead, and it's just fun to go, hey, everybody, it's Mike Lindell from MyPillow. I used to smoke rock cocaine. I'm clean and sober now, but I used to smoke cocaine. Listen to Howard Stern with Craig Gass. He's back on the Howard Stern show. Please, I'll suck your dick. I'm sorry. I'm recovering crackhead. But watch the Howard Stern show and listen to Craig Gass. I'll let you shave my pillows. I'm sorry. I'm a recovering crackhead. I'm sorry.
You know, so it's fun to take. Even with Al Pacino, back in the day on the when I first started sitting on the Howard Stern show, Al Pacino had twins, and I said, wouldn't it be funny to have one of the babies on the show? And that was a regular segment where Howard would go, man, you're Al Pacino's baby. What do you like to do for fun?
What do I like? I like to pee.
I
you
like to
pee?
Titties.
I love to suck on some titties and pee. Hoo-ah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, the Mike Lindell thing, that explained, I didn't know he was a crackhead. That explained, he didn't sleep for years, so he created a pillow. That
Dude,
makes sense now.
That guy, if you watch, I think it's Fox News did a, of course it's Fox News, they did a documentary about Mike Lindell.
A documentary.
And in the middle of the documentary, he's very honest about his crack smoking. What's interesting is he says,
I used to smoke crack cocaine in a warehouse in downtown Minneapolis. And I had friends I used to smoke crack with, but I'm very well versed in the Bible. So I would talk about, I would tell them about the book of the Battle of Armageddon and about the end times. And they would just leave, you know, they wouldn't hang out.
And I was like, and all I can think of is like, if I'm smoking crack cocaine all night with a guy who won't stop talking about Jesus. End times, I got to get the fuck out of there. Like, I'm not comfortable in my own skin when I'm high on cocaine. So if you're going to start talking about that Battle of Armageddon.
I got to ask you this. I'm a huge Van Halen fan. They got me started in music.
Yeah.
Do you do an Eddie Van Halen impression?
Of course.
Can I hear Eddie?
We have more with comedian Craig Gass all coming up after this.
Hey, everybody. This is comedian Craig Gass. You might want to Google that. And you're listening to the What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on Pantheon Podcast Network.
What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Yes, we're back with comedian Craig Gass. Check out this story about Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Do you do an Eddie Van Halen impression?
Of course.
Can I hear Eddie?
I lived at his house.
I know. I got to get your card just so I can hear the stories off because we don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's from the very first night I met him. I met his assistant at a concert. I didn't know it was his assistant. I was introduced to him backstage at a Scorpions docking concert as, dude, this guy, I'm going to introduce you to this guy. He lives with one of the biggest rock stars on the planet, but don't tell him I told you that. And he goes, Maddie, hey, this is my friend Craig. I don't know if you are a fan of Howard Stern or if you watch this TV show or that TV show. And the guy goes, dude, I am like your biggest fan. And I go, get the fuck out of here. Really? Hey, nice to meet you. And we're talking. We exchange phone numbers and we make a plan to go bowling.
Okay.
He showed up at the bowling alley with Eddie Van Halen.
Fuck me.
And his son. And Wolfie was 12 at the time, and Eddie's smoking in the bowling alley, and he's like, and then I start piecing the whole thing together. I figure out, okay, so this guy Maddie is Eddie's assistant.
Okay.
He lives in a guest house on the same property as Eddie.
Wow.
He runs the 5150 Studios, which is also on the same property, and he's such a Howard Stern fan that he gets up every morning at 5:30 in the morning.
Because he's West Coast time.
West Coast time, and he goes up into the studio, and he turns on the Howard Stern show, and he listens to all 5 hours every day. While
in the 5150
studios. In the 5150 studios while he's working, getting his stuff together. So when I started appearing on the Howard Stern show, he starts telling Eddie, like, dude, there's this guy who's on the Howard Stern show now who does a perfect Tracy Morgan impression. And then like a week later, oh my God, the same guy does a perfect Lars Ulrich impression. And then a week later, oh my God, the same guy does Paul Stanley, and on and on and on. Yeah. So in the bowling alley, Eddie is sitting there going, dude, I know all about you. I know everything about you. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, that's cool, you know? And he's like, yeah. And he's telling me all these stories about me, including a story that I shared on the air. Howard was trying to take credit for my entire career, which he was absolutely correct in. And I remember saying, oh, Howard, it's even deeper than that. I've been broke my whole life until I met you. And once you started helping me, all I've ever wanted was to own an illegal cable box. That's all I've ever wanted, was to own an illegal
Dream
cable
big.
Box. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it was like these boxes you send to a P.O. box number.
I remember those.
You send money to a P.O. box. You don't even know if you're going to get this thing. And a few weeks later in the mail, you get this thing. You hook it up to your cable. It unscrambles all your channels. So Eddie Van Halen in the bowling alley goes, dude, I heard you broke your whole life. Is that true? And I go, yeah, it is. He goes, me too. I grew up in the ghetto. He's an intense starer.
Oh, yeah. All
right. And he goes, I heard that. I don't know if that's true, but you always want a legal cable box? And I go, yeah, that is true. I told it on the air. And he goes, yeah, that's crazy. Because he looked both ways and he went, I got a legal cable box too. And I go, are you serious? And Eddie goes, yeah, the thing is, I'm fucking rich, but don't want to pay for cable. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? It was one of the most surreal conversations I've ever had with him. And then over the course of the next year and a half, I would go and hang out with Maddie, his assistant, at the studio. Eddie would stroll in from time to time. And then when a relationship of mine ended, Eddie invited me to move into the house. So,
that's awesome.
And the actual invitation was, he goes, dude, pack up your shit, move in with me. And I said, is that okay? And he goes, yeah. He goes, dude, you can stay in the recording studio. Just, you know, don't tell anybody, but the band's getting back together.
So, wow, so you were there for all that then.
So it's going to be noisy at night. I was there in 2004 when he was reuniting with Sammy to make an album that was a best of album that had two new tracks on a best of album.
Yep.
And that's when I was there. January till whenever the tour started that year in 2004 is when I was living there. So yeah, it was very surreal time in my life, but grateful for the stories.
What are your socials so people can follow you and check out that story? It's online. You can hear more about it.
At Craig Gass Comedy everywhere. At Craig Gass Comedy with two S's. And go through my Instagram, and you'll see some shit on my Instagram that I usually, like, there's a video of me with Sam Kinison when I was 17, I think, early on in my cocaine years. And and it's me with Sam, and it's an unbelievable video that I just found.
Cool.
And there's a lot of old pictures that I don't say who it is, But you can look at the picture and go, what the fuck? And you'll see in the comments people going, who's the Axl Rose looking guy? And I'm like,
Axl Rose.
I don't know. You tell me, you know? And but yeah, That's awesome. Craig Gass Comedy with two S's.
So. Well, hey, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And
thank you,
we
buddy.
Do this again. We're going to have you on. Go Steelers. I'm a Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh.
I love football, and two of my favorite cities to perform on are Pittsburgh and Green Bay.
Awesome.
Because of the deep, deep love of football in those towns.
Oh, yeah.
And but yeah, I love, dude, I love Sheetz. How can you not love Sheetz?
Thank you.
I would stick my dick in a Sheetz breakfast sandwich. That is the most amazing.
Has, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, as a thing to his fans, if you go to Sheetz and find the one that he stuck his dick in, he'll send you a personalized message.
Yep. That's not mayonnaise. Yep. That's right. Go to Sheetz. Big endorsement for Sheetz. I love Sheetz. Yeah.
There you
so
go.
Thank you, guys.
Craig Gass, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you, brother.
Alon, I got to tell you, I had so much fun interviewing Craig Gass. He stopped by. I didn't really know a whole lot about him, as with a lot of the artists that we got to meet, and comedians, and we met writers and journalists and musicians and all that. But I got to tell you, I think I was – this was in the middle of three back-to-back-to-back interviews. And the thing that stands out to me is I was so busy producing and doing all that – I didn't realize how funny that freaking guy is, man. That was a good show. And I was listening back to it, and I was like, holy shit, that's some funny stuff.
Well, you heard me in the interview. I was cracking up left and right. He had me in stitches. And I got to learn how to work on my impressions. You know me, I always like to do voices all the time. So he gave me some nice pointers. And how about that Eddie Van Halen story? That was wild. Like, everyone, if you listen to the show, knows I'm a huge Van Halen fanatic. So to live at Eddie Van Halen's house in the studio while they're kind of doing the reunion thing, oh, my God, I'd have been in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was our interview with Craig Gass. We've got 9 interviews to go. We have already released, Eric Martin from Mr. Big. We did that one coming up. We had guitarist Steve Blaze from Lillian Axe was with us. We've already released that one. We've got a bunch more coming up, so, man. Keep listening to our podcast. We appreciate them. Share them. Leave some comments. If you listen on iTunes or Apple or any place that lets you leave a comment, as long as it's a good comment, leave us a comment and 5 stars, would you? Just a little reminder, all of the What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast, including the Panda Top 20, Bubbling Under, Off the Charts, Flashback Friday, Classic Rock Remixes, Behind the Curtain, and Strip Club Hall of Fame. And this one, the Rockin' Pod Recap, can be found at whatshotitsc.com.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs with Danny Myers and Alon Fong, presented by Panda and Strip Joints Music. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.